We'll be reading into chapter 3 this morning. We're on our way. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 23. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 23, and we'll read all the way to chapter 3, verse 6. People of God, this is God's very word. Now, it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. And there ends the reading of God's word this morning. As we continue through the Gospel of Mark, last week we reached a point in the Gospel where the kingdom of God that Jesus was preaching and teaching was so different than what was the norm that not only did the people notice, wait a second, this is different than what we've heard our whole lives, but the religious leaders started to notice as well. And while the people were in awe and would say things like, "Who teaches with such authority?" The religious leaders went in a different direction, didn't they? They started following him around. Not to learn. Not to be his disciple. But to see what he would say. To find ways to accuse him. They started to look down at this new teaching. They started to look down at this new rabbi that was in town. They thought, how bad would his teaching get? Last week we saw two different questions that they asked Jesus. The first was about who could you have a meal with? The second was about fasting. And Jesus answered in such a way that they couldn't even respond. Now this morning, there's two more questions. This time the questions are about the same subject, the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath was a big deal. It should be a big deal today. Not only was the Sabbath in the law of God, but the Sabbath was older than Moses and the law. The Sabbath was so much older than Moses that we can go all the way back to creation and see the Sabbath. See why the Sabbath is important. And we heard this with the giving of the law this morning, didn't we? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. We heard this. But it kept going. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Sabbath is a big deal. You know, they say there's two main things that separated the Israelites from all the other people around them. Circumcision and the Sabbath. So when it comes to the Sabbath, the Jews went out of their way to take it seriously. Listen to this from Exodus chapter 31. You want to know why they take it so seriously? Listen to this. Exodus chapter 31. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death." Wow. "For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." That's two times in a few verses. "Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So you can understand why the Israelites took the Sabbath so seriously. And you can see why the Jews today still take the Sabbath seriously. And when we come to our text this morning, if you take God's law seriously, you can understand why the Pharisees would be upset. We have this new rabbi who's starting to gain all this popularity, and he's going around teaching something different than they taught. And in their eyes, they think he's breaking the law. Look at verse 23 with me in our text this morning. "Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him," speaking to Jesus, "look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" So we have our dilemma. What's Jesus doing? What's he allowing his disciples to do? What is and is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Was it picking the heads of grain? Or was it something else? Well, we know that we're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. That may make you think, well, wait a second. What do you mean not allowed to work? Well, if you go through Scripture, you can see that people do work on the Sabbath, don't they? Right? If it's a work of necessity, you see people working even in the covenant people. Right, the priest at the temple works on the Sabbath. Right, the Pharisees and scribes would go into the synagogue on the Sabbath and they would teach. Right, think about the soldiers at war. Think about David on the battlefield. Do you think he went to the Amalekites and said, wait, hold on, it's the Sabbath, we don't fight today. Sorry guys, we're going to take a day off. So there is work on the Sabbath. What about today? You might be thinking about today. What could be considered necessity today? Well, our hospitals are open. I think that's a good thing. What about our police and firefighters? Should we tell the bad guys to stop because it's the Sabbath? Our police are taking a day off. What about our farmers? What about our pastors? said, well, we want to look, what's lawful and what's not lawful? Jesus took his disciples on a walk. Not only that, he took them through a grain field, probably knowing what was going to happen. You know, during Second Temple Judaism, the Pharisees were so overprotective and guarding from against any form of labor on the Sabbath. They said, you know, how are we going to stop people from sitting on the Sabbath? You can only walk 1,999 steps on the Sabbath. And if you took that 200th step, you were breaking the law. So you had to count 1,999. But they thought, you know what? Well, this isn't getting us anywhere. So you know how they worked around it? Well, they said, if you walk 1,999 steps and you left your coat here, well, then you can take another 1,999 steps because your coat is where your home is. And they thought, okay, well, that's good, but there's another way we can get around this. If we walk 1,999 steps, you can put a plate of food, and that would be where your home is, and then you could walk another. See, you see, they made these rules, and it didn't even work for them. You can't find these rules in God's law. But they were so overprotective, they didn't want to break God's law, so they tried, they put hedges around everything they could. And then we see this. Jesus' disciples plucking the grains, plucking the heads of grain. Now, was that unlawful to do? No. Deuteronomy 23, listen to this. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hands, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's grain. Okay. So what? That's not unlawful. So when did it become unlawful in the Pharisees' eyes? If they plucked the heads of grain and they put it in their hands and they rubbed their hands together to get the kernel, that was work. You couldn't do it. You're like, Jesus has got it. You got to be kidding me. But in their eyes, this was work. Think about today, beloved. Think about today. You know, you can buy an oven, a stove that has a Sabbath timer on it today, because lighting a fire is work. And if you turned your oven on, you would be working. So you could set it all up so you wouldn't have to even turn your oven on. Right? There's elevators that are Sabbath elevators so you don't have to press the button, because pressing the button is work. And you might be thinking, well, we at least got to give them credit. They love God's law so much that they put these hedges of protection around them to keep people safe. But they're totally missing the point, aren't they? They're totally missing the real issue of the law. The law was to turn them back. To say, we can't do this. Not to try our best. Once again, Jesus has to show them that all the things we add to the law of God to protect them from sinning did nothing. It wasn't keeping them from sinning at all. It was making them sin more. Jesus, instead of telling them why it was not a sin, right, the Pharisees asked them a question, why do they do this? Instead of answering their question, he pressed their buttons. He said, do you read your Bibles? To the Pharisees. And most of them had known Scripture by heart. All of it. Verse 25. But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who are with him. If you never read, they were probably really upset. What's Jesus doing? What's Jesus trying to get at here with them? That human need was more important than the rules that they made about keeping the Sabbath. David and his men were on the run from Saul trying to kill them. They were hungry. They couldn't go into town. So David goes, I know where bread's at. Bread's in the house of God. So he went in and he ate. Grabbed some for his buddies. Human need is more important. What about that age-old question? It's a question we've all heard. You probably know where I'm going to go. Is it okay to break the law for human need? You have a family of Jews hiding in your attic. They're in your house. Some SS drive up in a Jeep, get out with machine guns, knock on your door. You open your door and they say, do you have Jews hiding in your house? And if you say yes, if you tell the truth, not only do they die, most likely you're going to die too for hiding them in your house. What do you say? Of course not, I don't have Jews hiding in my house. Why would I do that? What did you just do there? Now back to our text. If David could do something that was unlawful, someone greater than David is here. And that's what he's trying to say. Verse 27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was rest for us. It was made to give comfort to the weary. It was made to point us to the ultimate rest that Jesus was going to earn. It was made to show us how life was going to be with God forever. We are not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us. We are not made to make the Sabbath holy. God made the Sabbath holy. No, the Sabbath was a gift to his people from a loving God. But then Jesus went one step further, and they didn't get that. Jesus says this in verse 20, therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So if you don't believe that that Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, well, guess what? It doesn't matter because I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I make the rules because I made the Sabbath. Wait, what? Think of their faces right then. Did you just hear what this guy said? Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. He told them right there on that spot that he was the creator. He was the one who made the Sabbath holy. Not only does he have the authority to forgive sin, he's sovereign over the Sabbath. That probably infuriated them. He was showing them someone greater than David is here. Well, if that wasn't enough to make the Pharisees really mad, if that wasn't enough to make the Pharisees want to put a complete stop to Jesus' ministry, we can see going into chapter 3. Read with me chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. So we don't know if this was the next Sabbath or if it was a little time had passed. But Jesus wasn't done showing the Pharisees that he was Lord of the Sabbath. He really wanted to get this point across to them. See, the Pharisees had taught that healing was a work on the Sabbath. Sure they did, right? So they would expect Jesus, this rabbi, to say, you know, you should come back tomorrow and I'll heal you tomorrow. That's what they expected Jesus to say to this man. But we've already seen Jesus heal on the Sabbath. Remember back to Peter's mother-in-law. They left church on the Sabbath, walked right into Peter's house, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus had already healed on the Sabbath day. This wasn't anything new for Jesus. By this time, Jesus was done playing the Pharisees' games. It almost sounded like they planted this man there to see what Jesus would do. Jesus was done. He was having none of it. He was going to put them on the spot. What does he do? Verse 3, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Remember the synagogue, the round building where they would come in. And he would step right in the middle. People would be all around. And they're usually in synagogues, they had an upper robe or the women and children. Maybe we should do that here. No, okay. No. I was doing mostly for the kids. Okay. So there would be a center in the middle. And this, he said, Jesus said, get in the middle here. So everyone could see what Jesus was about to do. Brought this man. There he is. And instead of talking to the man, like when he healed the paralytic, remember he talked to the paralytic, he talks to the Pharisees. He says to them, in the room, looking around at them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? See, Jesus wants them to really think about this. Jesus wants them to see their heart. Because their heart wasn't with the Lord, was it? The Sabbath was made for man. Their answer should have been, yes, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. But what happens? Not a word from them. But they kept silent. Probably wasn't the best thing to do, was it? Verse 5. And when he, Jesus, had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Anger. See, these were supposed to be the shepherds of Israel. They were supposed to be taking care of the covenant people. They were supposed to be taking care of the flock. They were supposed to do whatever they could for the flock. But they cared too much about their own so-called righteousness. They stopped caring for everybody else. Listen to this from Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesied about this. Ezekiel 34, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with wool. You slaughter the fatling. Do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor have you bound up the broken, nor brought back those driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wander. Through all the mountains and on every high hill, yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds. I will require my flock from their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart. What were they doing? They're only looking for themselves. So the shepherd, the true shepherd, the good shepherd comes. And he says to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as well as the other. And you would think the Pharisees would rejoice, wouldn't you? This man is made whole. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. You know what's crazy about that statement? Is that the Pharisees and the Herodians hated each other. They hated each other. The Herodians were under Herod Antipas, who not only arrested John the Baptist and had him beheaded, but they worked for the Romans. The Pharisees hated him, but they hated Jesus more. He was making them look like fools. He was exposing their hearts, beloved. They were not about protecting the people. They're only about protecting themselves. Beloved, what do you think about the Sabbath? What do you think of that? When you hear the word Sabbath, do you think works? Do you think, man, I better do better at keeping the Sabbath? How many of us grew up, you don't have to raise your hand or answer the question, how many of us grew up with the idea that you couldn't go swimming on the Sabbath, or that you couldn't ride your bikes on the Sabbath, couldn't go outside and kick the soccer ball on the Sabbath, couldn't mow your lawns on the Sabbath, couldn't wash your car on the Sabbath? Where do you find that in Scripture? When we think of the Sabbath, what's the word that should jump into our heads? Rest. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, that doesn't mean you guys can go out there and go wash your cars today. What it does mean is, where's this? When you think about rest, where does your mind go? Where do you find rest? In Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. What the Pharisees missed the whole time is that, well, I love the law of God, and that's a good thing. We should love the law of God. But they tried so hard to keep it that they pushed everybody out. They made all these little rules that was only pushing them farther from the Lord. No, Jesus says, no. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm going to leave us with this and then we'll end. This is what Jesus said about work, because of what the Pharisees had placed on the people. Jesus says to them, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Do you believe that, beloved? Do you find your rest in Him, your Sabbath rest in Him? Because if you do, ultimately, one day we're going to have unlimited Sabbath rest in heaven with the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning on the Sabbath day. We're here for rest. We don't come into here and say, look, Lord, we're here on the Sabbath day, just like you said. No, we come here weak and heavy laden. We come here exhausted. We come here to find rest in you. Lord, help us to remember that this day was made for us, not us for it. Lord, help us to remember that the law was for us to look to you, not into us thinking we can keep doing this. We got this. No. We don't have this, Lord. We need you. Lord, and you sent your Son, who could do the law. Help us to find rest in him. Help us to find rest in his work that he did, and not in our own. Help us never to look inside for the strength to do the work, because we don't have it, Lord. No, you have it. You're gentle and lowly in heart. Help us to find rest for our souls in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.